good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hello, Phil Vacchio.
Good morning, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of Phil, myself, and Jay Marie are here every weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law. Serious things, Phil.
Serious topics. Very serious, very practical.
You got to deal with it. Estate planning, yeah. Elder law, yeah. Long-term care, wills, trusts, powers of attorney. It's a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900. And if what's going on is a little too serious and we need to talk about it in person, you can meet with Phil or Jay Marie or myself in Albany, Saratoga Springs, up in Queensbury, down in Kingston, and call our office at 518-465-7581.
We've had a good string of some callers recently. I'd like to continue that.
Really?
I would like to oblige. Well, we had 3 2 weeks ago. You had one weeks ago, right? Not last week, no.
Nothing last week. Well, maybe people will call this week to tell us about how great that New York Knicks parade was the other day.
Did you watch that at
Lord.
All? Oh, I wish I was there.
Just, it's like in my social media feeds are just 2 million New Yorkers watching the
Knicks wild. Walk.
It's Ben, did you see the photos? It's like people are hanging from lampposts and streetlights and scaffolding.
It's funny that you say that because I said to my wife, I said, there's a lot of construction going on. You know where they have those things built? Well, yeah. All the people were hanging on all of the scaffolding. It was amazing.
They didn't care.
Someone asked me if I had gone to the parade, and I was like, do you think I would be able to see anything? Like, look at this, Phil. What are we going to see?
We could have formed one giant man me if you could
yeah.
you know, put hands on the shoulders.
I was talking to my brother 2 days ago. I mean, we're New Yorkers through and through. We're
right.
born and raised in mm-hmm. Long Island. I cannot believe the New York Knicks won the NBA championship. It still doesn't feel real.
Like, it's pretty incredible. It's been a long time.
It's like
time
they're the Knicks. It's like yeah. the Mets winning, you know? It's like, that's not supposed to happen.
It would be great when the Mets win again.
So you've never been to any ticker tape parade of any kind in New York? Or
Phil, this was the second championship of my lifetime. The first one was in 1986 when I was 6 years old.
Yeah. Okay.
You weren't even born the last time.
No. That's right.
Painful for Red Sox fans from 86.
I went to the Yankees.
That's all right. How many have you won since then, Ben? Enough. Enough out of you.
More than the Yankees have, that's for sure.
More than the Mets have, too.
I think I went to the Yankees in 2000. They won in 2000, right? Wasn't 2001? 2000.
Yeah. It's been a long time, so who knows?
It's been a while.
It's fun. Yeah. It's always a great thing for New Yorkers to celebrate together.
Phil, they may also call us to wish us a happy Father's Day month, because it's a Father's Day month these days. Did you
I
know
like
that?
It. We get no, a whole I month? Didn't know that.
We get a whole month
no
now.
No one told me that. You yeah. should have been celebrating.
Oh, you never got the memo. Okay.
I didn't get the memo.
You're just getting a day?
I
didn't
get the memo. I get poor it. Guy. It's all right. I well, do feel bad. I got yelled at on the Mother's Day weekend. You were on the show. We didn't mention it.
We didn't mention what? Mother's Day? Well, it's
shame on us. That's, you know.
Sorry, Jen.
Too much to remember.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, Phil.
Happy Father's Day.
Ben, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Ben, you right too, back yes. at you.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Lots going on in the office, Phil.
Yeah, very busy, plugging away, helping lots of people.
I had a potpourri of different kinds of clients come in, lots of different kinds of conversations, and we could pick at any of them if you want, but we can go in a lot of different directions this morning.
Any common themes that you saw this week?
You know what? The common theme was people get bad information from other sources.
Yeah.
Like that was the theme, because I had one that was like tax related where it's been like a $50,000 error.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
An error where you know, the correct way to handle it is going to save a lot of money. And maybe we just get right into it. So
is it salvageable? Let's start
yeah.
there.
Well, I think so. I'm not the CPA extraordinaire, but I think so. So there's something in life called taxes and something called capital gains taxes.
Yes.
And the idea is if you make money, you got to pay taxes on the money you made. It's not a very foreign concept.
Correct.
And one of the we'll call it a silver lining of passing away is that your beneficiaries, whoever you're leaving money to, typically will get a better tax situation than what you just had. So if, Phil, you bought a share of stock for $1 and it's worth $100 and you sold it, good on you. You make $99. You're going to pay some taxes on that.
Right.
And if you gave me the share of stock because you like me so much and you're still alive, I'm still alive, you say, hey, Dave, here's this share of stock. I get it as if I bought it for a dollar, even though you just gave it to me.
I gifted it to you, yeah. And it's as if you bought it yourself, right?
And if I sell it one day for $100, right, I also will have to pay taxes just like you would have.
Correct. And
so your tax basis was a dollar when you gave it to me. Mine still is a dollar. I made 100 and blah, blah, blah. But when you die and you leave it to me, maybe in your will, maybe in your trust,
yeah,
maybe you have me as a beneficiary on the account and it goes to Dave, when I receive it because you died, it's still worth $100, everybody. But in my hands, in the eyes of the IRS, it's like I got it for $100. I bought it for $100. So if I sell it, 100 minus 100 is zero, if my math is correct.
Which it is correct.
There's no gain.
Good job.
Which means everything was tax-free to me, essentially. And that's called, in our world, it's called a step up in the tax basis.
It's one of the best tax benefits that the government provides for us. At least for now. I mean, you know, the government could they take it away? I don't know. But it's been around for a long time, and it's becoming more and more relevant with the large succession of wealth that we're just going to keep seeing with the generation coming up. I mean, just think about it. I had, even more down so on Long Island, right? I would have the situation where it was the second generation or third generation of owning real estate in say, Queens or Brooklyn. And they would tell me, oh, well, my father or my grandfather bought this duplex or apartment complex in Queens, Brooklyn for
a song, literally a song. He sang the song and they gave it to him.
You know, literally like $20,000. Like, oh, what's it worth now? $10 million.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if they have to pay taxes on that. And they don't when they inherit it in the correct way. And that it's a huge succession of wealth.
And so if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I like the sound of that, right? So how do I sign up for that? You actually don't have to do anything.
Mm-mm.
Just now, like if you know, you just happen to pass away, it's likely, almost certain that your beneficiaries of your estate plan, whether it's through a will, whether it's through trust, whether it's through beneficiaries, they're going to get that step up. Unless.
Well, it's one of those things where it's not, you don't have to be proactive and do something to get the benefit, but what you don't want to do is do something that makes you lose the tax benefit. That's the key.
Right. And so the step up in the tax basis that we want to get when we die, it's like the Holy Grail. We cannot lose it. And whenever we do any of our plans, unless it's some really like high level estate tax planning for people that have tens of millions of dollars, we are making sure that whatever kind of documents we prepare are going to still make you get that step up in the tax basis. We cannot lose that. It is, like I said, the Holy Grail. It's the easiest way to save money.
That'd be a huge tax detriment. We'd probably be having to call our malpractice company if we did that to somebody, right?
And if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, wait a minute, when I inherited my mother's IRA, none of that was tax-free. It's because retirements are different. Retirement accounts, when you inherit them, you're going to take money over time. If it's deferred compensation, it means that you're going to pay taxes eventually on them. That's different. Well, retirement accounts are different.
Different types of taxes, right? That's in the income tax world.
Right.
That's taxes that the person who originally funded this account didn't pay income on. So when they come out one day, whether it's the person who funded it or someone who inherited it, they're going to have to pay income taxes on it because they have not been paid yet.
So Phil, how does this come to be something we're talking about today? Well, a prospective client came to Queensbury 2 days ago, and we were talking about her estate plan, and she needs an estate plan. She has a child. She has grandchildren. She has property in multiple states, and we're talking about probate and all the things that you normally would talk about. And she said to me in no uncertain terms, I am not doing an irrevocable trust. And I said, okay, well, you might. But why? Why don't you tell me? And she said, well, because when my aunt died, she had an irrevocable trust. And when my sister and I inherited from my aunt, we had to pay $50,000 each in capital gains tax.
Yeah.
And I said, I think we need to talk about your CPA or whoever told you that advice. And I said, tell me about this trust that your aunt had. I said, I said, did she have tens of millions of dollars? And she said, no. I said, did she do a trust for like long-term care purposes? You know, like your trustee or your sister was trustee. She says, yes. And I said, all right, well, you know, send me a copy of that trust, but I'll bet you a quarter, I'll bet you a nickel that that trust actually gets a step up in the tax basis.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, my sister found a CPA and the CPA said, no, 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 we have to pay taxes. And my sister and I got into so many fights and I said, you know what? Fine. And we just dealt with it.
Yeah.
And then I said, I asked her, I said, did your aunt die after 2023? And she said, yes.
It's a big, big year for this rule.
Yeah. And we're going to get a little technical for a moment, but let's just say that there is a ruling that came out a couple years ago that said that what we're talking about here, Phil, wouldn't apply to certain kinds of irrevocable trusts.
Yeah. And it used the word irrevocable trusts, which became a general generalization for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know how like in like kids shows, if someone like there's a character and when they're evil, it's the same person, but now they have a mustache or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, like the alter ego type of thing. Well, the kind of trust that the IRS said no longer gets this step up is the trust with the mustache. Yeah. It's like the evil version, right? It's a different kind of trust, but it kind of looks like the trust we always talk about. It kind of looks like this Medicaid trust, but it's not the Medicaid trust.
It's like Mario and Wario for Nintendo fans.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't know if we have a lot of Nintendo fans.
It might be. Yeah, listen.
But yes, just like Wario. Thank you, Phil.
Perfect. You're very welcome. Very relevant.
But to the untrained eye, like untrained eye meaning non-estate planning elder law attorney eye, to the CPA eye, to the financial advisor eye, who reads an article that says irrevocable blah, blah, blah trust no longer gets a step up.
Sounds pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we end up spending a lot of time and putting together legal memos to show actually that ruling doesn't apply to the trust we talk about all the time. And in fact, you do get the step up because, Phil, you have to get the step up. Otherwise, we would never do that trust. It is the Holy Grail, and we don't give up the Holy Grail for nothing.
Now, are there trusts similar to what we do that don't? There can be, because the attorney who drafted it may not have included certain provisions that need to be in there. So it's not a blanket statement. So when, for example, with your client, when you said you wanted to see the trust.
I got to see the trust.
You wanted to see for a reason. Oh, it's that kind of trust. We're good. It still has to be drafted properly, and we can say with confidence that ours are. We can't say that with confidence across the board that if you're listening and you have that kind of trust and it's not ours, that you do get it. We would hope it was drafted properly, but it still needs to have those provisions in there. Very, very important.
Yeah. So basically, Phil, she needs to have a serious conversation with either the CPA because they screwed up or with Aunt's attorney because they screwed up.
Or both, I would suggest. Both.
Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I didn't bet. I bet a quarter with her. That's my normal rate that I bet. But I'm quite certain that she's going to be saving $50,000. And she said, if you save me $50,000, then you have all my business for the rest of my life. And I said, well,
fingers crossed.
And we hope it's a long life.
Of course. Yeah. So we're going to touch a little more on that. And there's actually a New York Yankees component to this step up in the tax basis that we should.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Sorry,
that's
Ben.
Great.
Do I know this?
I think you do.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
Welcome back. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kabikian.
And before the break, Dave and I were talking about a tax benefit called the Step Up in Basis and how it relates to certain trusts and the rules with those trusts and how to maintain that cost basis. And we left off saying that, you know, while most of the trusts that are created for certain purposes, you know, avoiding probate and protecting assets in particular from costs of long-term care needs, you're still entitled to that step-up in basis. But we made a point that it depends on the language of the trust still. Right. Not all trusts are created equally. And we can say with certainty the trusts that we create do get that step-up, but not with other trusts. We do give free consultations to review, well, free consultations across the board, but also to review documents that you have in place. You know, if you have one of those trusts that we didn't create and would like us to look at it, we'd be happy to, and we can hopefully give you some assurances. But if not, we can potentially remedy a huge problem.
And Phil, it takes about 10 seconds for us to tell you whether the trust is going to get the step up.
We know what we're looking for, yeah.
So without getting too, well, I guess we might need to get into it. But the reason why, you might be thinking, well, the government's not in the business of helping us avoid taxes all the time. What yeah. gives? What's the point of this? Well, there is something called estate tax. And if we have too much money, and in New York, too much money is over $7.35 million a person. And federally, too much money is about 15 and change. If we have more than that, there is something called estate tax, where there will be a tax paid by your estate prior to the distribution of assets to your beneficiaries. And estate taxes used to be at very low thresholds, or much lower thresholds, Phil. I remember when
they were low.
Back in the day when I went to law school and I you know, was doing tax classes and stuff like that, New York had a $1 million exemption, not 7.35. And if one of our listeners lives, south of, well, actually really anywhere these days, but
yeah.
if you live in the five boroughs, oh my goodness, whatever you live in is probably worth more than that threshold was.
People don't think that they have that much money, but then when you sit down on paper and look at your house, life insurance, death benefits, your retirement accounts, your regular accounts, it's very easy to get above that for a lot of people. I don't want to say easy, but it's just very common.
It's all the death benefits, all your retirement, your house, you know, any other real estate, bank accounts, CDs, you name it. It's all part of that pie.
Correct.
And, I tell people, so we're all downstaters, right? My grandfather, obviously downstater, he lived in Bayside, Queens, Phil.
Good old Bayside, Bell Boulevard.
Yeah, Bell Boulevard. If you drive by there, you won't even recognize it anymore.
But, really?
Yeah. He died in 2010. If he knew how much his house was worth when he died, because we almost had an estate tax issue with him, I wouldn't have dreamed of it in New York. If he knew how much his house was worth when he died, he would have died. Like if he literally saw that it's worth that much money, he would have had a heart attack and passed away. Assets appreciate, real estate appreciates, right? If your financial advisor does a good job, those things appreciate. And they may appreciate so much that there are taxes payable, estate taxes, when you die.
Yep.
And the government said, well, you know what? If you have to pay estate taxes, we'll throw you a bone. We'll say that, you know what? Whatever's left after all those taxes you paid, Phil, whatever's left, that's going to get this step up that we've been talking about.
Right.
It's been a consolation prize for the majority of time. But now the thresholds are so high that it's really easy to have less than $7.35 million, right? Check.
Yeah, we're not seeing that quite often.
But I still get that step up.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you mentioned that there's a chance that maybe there's some legislation one day that plays with the step up or some other tax. I mean, it's...
There's always... talk somewhere rumbling in the background. Yeah. I think there'd be a revolution if that happened.
That'd be a big revolt because it is the largest tax savings, I think.
Yeah, huge.
You know who else died in 2010, Phil?
George Steinbrenner.
George Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
Do you know who George Steinbrenner is, Ben?
Yes, I do.
You do?
He was on Seinfeld.
He was never pictured.
Claim to fame,
he
Seinfeld.
Was
hurt,
he was never pictured.
Allegedly.
Hurt. That's right.
Yeah. So... George Steinbrenner died in 2010. He's the owner of the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Do you remember how much he bought the Yankees for in 1970 something?
I don't remember the stat.
I believe it was $10 million.
Wow.
And if I recall, it wasn't even his money. He got like a pool of people to pitch in, but he was going to be the owner. Do you have any idea how much the Yankees were worth when George Steinbrenner died in 2010?
$5 billion?
I don't think it was quite five billion, but it was in the B's.
Yeah.
For sure.
It was a B word.
And 2010 was an interesting year, Phil. Do you know why?
No. Why was it interesting?
Well, in 2010, there was no estate tax.
Yes, right.
So there was, you know, estate taxes go up over time and the thresholds at least. And in 2010, there was no estate tax. And you're going to think, oh my God, what a wonderful world. There's no estate tax.
Yeah.
Well, not so wonderful because you had to pick a road. You had to say either I'm going to have my assets subject to taxes and I get the step up, or I live in a world where there's no estate taxes and no step up in the tax basis. So like for my grandfather, right, we gladly said, of course, estate taxes. And we did an estate tax return for him, even though he was below the threshold. And that way my mother, when she inherited property, got it tax-free, right? We got the step up. George Steinbrenner's kids had a little different opinion because they said, well, geez, if we have to pay estate taxes on a couple $1 billion, how do we even come up? You know, the Yankees are quite illiquid, I think. You know, you can't just sell the Yankees. I mean, I guess you could. Yeah. So they decided, you know what? Well, we're never going to sell the Yankees. We're the Steinbrenners. So they decided we just won't have any estate tax. So a little trivia out there. The New York Yankees, the tax basis that the Steinbrenners have in the Yankees are basically $10 million plus whatever they built their stadium for.
So whenever it gets sold one generation or so down the road.
Yeah. Or they kick it down. And I think where this plays for our clients, because most, I would say the majority of our clients do not own the Yankees, right? I think.
I don't think so. I haven't met any. No.
Where it matters is, Phil, a lot of times people tell you, well, you know what? The trust sounds complicated. I'm just going to give my money to my kids now. I'm just going to give my assets to my kids. I'm just going to transfer the house to them right now.
Yeah.
Sounds great for, you know, maybe avoiding probate. Well, certainly it does. If you don't have money anymore, then we're avoiding probate.
Sure.
But there are these tax consequences because you want your kids to get that bump in the tax basis.
Unintended consequences that, you know, you have to think of every angle of the transaction that you're looking to make. You avoid probate, all of a sudden there's a huge tax implication. So you got to check all the boxes.
And I think we have something that does check all the boxes, including the tax basis.
Yeah. And it depends on what you're looking to do, right? So we talk about trusts all the time, and they're great vehicles to achieve a lot of different goals, depending on what your goals are. We always start from that highest level living trust, the trust we create while you're alive, we fund it while you're alive, and we talk about revocable or irrevocable. The irrevocable one is the one that we were saying gives clients some pause. They read that 2023 IRS ruling, or their CPA reads it, or their financial advisor reads it and says, hold on a second, when you go to the attorney, just make sure you don't do an irrevocable trust. And they come in with that preconceived concept.
Yeah, or they think the old school, it means I don't control it anymore. And
there's that too. We're dispelling many misconceptions a lot of times during these consultations. But that's a big one on the tax side. And, you know, really happy to say that our trusts that are made to both protect assets and avoid probate still get this amazing step up in cost basis for capital gain tax purposes.
Yeah, and you know, we always tell people, you know, I don't think it's just a Herzog thing. I think it's just an elder law thing, an estate planning thing, is use an elder law attorney, an estate planning attorney, to prepare your estate planning and elder law documents, right? If you're going to do a trust, let's make sure it's someone that doesn't do, you know, closings and matrimonials when they're not doing trust. That's just my two cents.
Well, it can go quite wrong if it's not drafted properly.
Yeah, I want my CPA to be a full-time CPA and not a part-time CPA. I don't want them to do it only on the weekends. The little details really, really matter, right? You could read that article, that ruling, that revenue ruling that came out about irrevocable trusts. And I'm telling you right now, to the untrained eye, you're going to say Dave and Phil are full of baloney because I'm reading it right here. But you know what? This is what we do for a living, and we know the differences, and it's been, you know, talked about amongst estate planning and elder law attorneys. Like, we were all freaking out 3 years ago, everybody, because this ruling was drastically going to change the merits of doing a Medicaid trust.
It was scary when it came up, before it was interpreted, before everyone read it. If it really did remove that, you know, for that kind of trust, it would have been a huge deal. But luckily, it didn't. And, you know, when you read the IRS, the Internal Revenue Code, or any IRS letters.
Oh, my God. It's
the most dense law, I think, that I've ever read.
It's like, this doesn't apply unless it does.
Yeah, there's so many
conditions. This does apply unless it doesn't. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God.
It's crazy. So, you know, when someone looks at that and misinterprets it, that's understandable. And we get calls all the time from clients or from their CPAs just asking us, does this get the cost basis step up? Does it not? Yeah. And we're happy to oblige and tell them that, you know, if it's our trust, it does. If it's not, hopefully it still does.
So, Phil, I don't know if anyone is still listening to us at this point. I don't know if they've, I feel like there's I hear snoring out there in the public.
There's so many tax fans out there, Dave.
Oh, Ben's still
I'm
here.
Listening. So there's at least one. And Alex is listening.
You don't realize how many tax fans there are out there. It's, you know, very exciting stuff.
So there's one last piece to this, and I can't wait to listen to the show again to see if it all made sense. But the actual ruling applies to a trust, right? It applies to a very similar, right? The trust with the mustache.
Yeah, Wario.
The Wario trust. What was that trust all about? Well, some you know, very clever attorneys and tax professionals said, well, maybe we can do a trust that avoids estate taxes and also gets the step up in the tax
basis. That's the key.
And that's the trust that the IRS said, no, 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 you can't. You got to pick a road.
Yeah.
And so just to put a bow on it, we picked the road. The road is that when our clients don't have a taxable estate, I would say the 99.8% of our clients do not have a taxable estate
right.
federally, we're going to take that step up in the tax basis. The trust that was trying to, do everything in terms of avoiding taxes and getting that benefit in the taxes, that's what was struck down. That is not our trust.
Yeah. The key component is as long as the assets in your trust are still part of your taxable estate, then you get to step up.
Yeah. What are you guys doing for Father's Day?
Baseball.
Miniature golf.
I was telling Ben before, Collins Baseball League, they did cancel games on Mother's Day, but not on Father's Day.
So, how about that, Jen? What do you think of that?
How about them apples?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know what? That's cool. I think you're fine with it.
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
To be honest, I'm fine with it. And it's in the morning, so. After that, I'm not quite sure yet. Do you have any good plans?
I'm going down to see my dad.
Nice.
And I think my brother's going to come up to see my dad, so it'll be a little mini reunion.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And, things are not so great for him these days. So it's actually also a reminder that having things in place is really important. My parents happen to have long-term care insurance. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Might be the greatest investment they ever did.
Yeah.
Based on how things are going, which is not a great.
Yeah, you don't want that.
We don't want that.
But
we
never want to use insurance, but that's why it's there.
But, preparing for these things is really, really important. And I know we say it all the time and might as well say it again.
Well, it's the summertime. You're going to go on family vacations, see your family, do some well checks.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Try to get a sense of what's going on in your parents' lives. And do they have their documents in place? Do they need care? Right? Those things are really important. Yeah.
Does mom not look steady? Does dad look like he's having issues? You got to pay attention.
Yeah, that's a whole other show. Check the fridge, the mail.
Little public service announcement, right?
And one more public service, they happen to have long-term care insurance, but you know what, Phil? They have a revocable trust because they still need to avoid probate and so on.
It's correct. Trusts and long-term care insurance can still work well together. It's not, one does not always solve the other.
If you guys could not hear my son Alex in the background, it's because he was a good boy today. Good job, Alex.
He was great.
You were great, Alex. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.